Paul.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Get over here and eat.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here tonight, Father, for your grace and mercy, your love and your power, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know we're a little bit early here, Lord, but, Lord, early is better than late, God. So, Lord God, even though we might have had some technical difficulty from behind the scenes, and Lord, but we're working on fixing those tech issues from behind the scenes, Lord, but I thank you, Lord, for always having this callback line to be able to use this line to be able to have as a backup plan for when something does happen, Lord. But I thank you, Lord God, that you are working from behind the scenes a better technology that will allow us to reach more people, Lord, and bring, you know, them to you, Lord, and let them be your Savior, that you'd be their Savior, Father God. And, Lord God, that salvation will live in their lives, Father, that, Lord, that today, Lord God, that the light of Jesus, Lord God, hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you for this service, Lord, Apostle Kim and my wife and Ingrid and my son Paul that are in the background listening and those that are in the process of getting ready to call in, Father. Lord God, bring them in, Lord. Lord, no, Minister Aaron told me that he's got family over tonight, so he'll have it on speakerphone for them to listen in as well, Lord. So, Lord God, we'll have households from all over the country listening in at one point or another, God. So, Lord God, we pray that thy will be done tonight, God. Lord God, that your riches and mercy go forward, Father. Your grace and your love and your power, Father God. And, Lord God, word the mouth of your servant tonight, God. We give you all the praise, the glory, and honor due in your name we pray, Jesus. Hallelujah. Before the throne, here where we come to offer praise and seek wisdom, now we bow as we enter the throne room, and we cast ourselves down at your feet, and we cry, holy, in your presence, Lord, is where we must be.
Dave from Milwaukee.
In your presence, Lord, here where we come. To offer praise and seek wisdom. Now we bow as we enter the throne room, and we cast ourselves down as you feel. And we cry, holy, holy is the Lord. In your presence, Lord, is where we must be. In your presence, Lord, is where we come to offer praise and seek wisdom. Now we bow as we enter the throne.
cast ourselves down at your feet. Cast ourselves down tonight, God, before your throne, as we usher in your presence tonight, God, giving you all the glory, the honor, praise, and worship, Lord. Lord, we pray, we thank you, Lord, for the second household that is on here tonight, Lord, that is listening in, the family members, and Minister Aaron, Lord. Bless them, Lord God, as they're listening in, for tonight is an important night. Lord, every night is important, but this is important because it's about our natural and our spiritual health. So, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're going to do. Bless the speaker of the hour, God, and the new found partnership and membership, friendship. Touch it, God. Give her just a word of mouth tonight, God. Lord, I anoint her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit tonight, God. As she gets ready to go forth here momentarily, Lord. Lord God, that in this conference, this health conference, Lord. Lord God, this is a part of the United Remnant Conference, Lord. And so, Lord, with that being said, Lord God, that she's going to come forward with a powerful message, Lord, tonight. And we believe it is done by your riches and mercy, your grace, your love, your power. In Jesus' name we pray.
Paul, get out here.
Hallelujah. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Lord, prepare my heart, prepare my soul, and prepare my mind, so that I may worship you and adore you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Without further ado, we will bring in the speaker of the hour, Pastor Christy Crenshaw. She's a health coach as well as a pastor. Hallelujah. I'll let her explain a little bit more about herself momentarily. Hallelujah. But we just met her not even about a week ago, and we've decided to go on a health journey to get ourselves more healthy spiritually and naturally all together, leading by example as a brothers and sisters in Christ and as a ministry family of God. Amen. And so without further ado, I bring her before you tonight from Kingdom Health Builders Ministries. Hallelujah, Pastor Christy Crenshaw.
Thank you, Pastor and Apostle Nick. Thank you so much for having me. This is a great honor to be here and to speak with your people and your congregation. And as you stated before, I am a minister, and I am also a certified health coach. And the mandate that the Lord has given me is to help lead the body of Christ out of sickness, out of disease, and into divine health. so that we are more fully equipped to do the work that he has for us here on this earth, especially in this latter day outpouring of his glory. We are going to need to be healthy, and we are going to need that health to be able to run that race that we have. He's going to need all hands on deck for this coming outpouring of glory and revival that's coming. So for tonight, the message that the Holy Spirit has given me is entitled, Better is Sacrifice, or Obedience is Better than Sacrifice. And unless otherwise stated, all of the verses of Scripture that I'm going to be reading are from the New Living Translation. And I'm going to start out with 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than the offering the fat of rams. So some of you may be wondering what this verse of Scripture has to do with health and wellness for believers of the Lord and people who are passionate about seeing the Lord's kingdom built here on this earth. And then there may be some of you that already know where the Holy Spirit is leading with this verse. And to understand this, we have to go a little bit to the backstory. And in that backstory of 1 Samuel, King Saul had been given a mandate by the prophet Samuel from the Lord to go into the enemy land and destroy all of the inhabitants. He was to destroy all the people along with all of the animals. But in his pride and human wisdom, King Saul decided to spare the life of King Agag, his wife, and to keep the best of the sheep, the goats, the calves, and lambs. And that was everything that appealed to him. The only things that they destroyed was what was worthless and of poor quality. You know, now we have to remember that Saul had been given a command from the Lord with very specific instructions for what he was to do. The Lord didn't say to him, go in and keep the ones that are pleasing to you and destroy the rest. No, he told him to wipe them all out. But Saul tried to reason this, you know, in his earthly knowledge, that he was doing something that was good. But in the end, he was only being partially obedient to what the Lord had instructed. And we all know that partial obedience is still disobedience. And then what does he do next? He begins to offer the spoils that he took out of disobedience as a sacrifice unto God. And this chapter then goes on to say that in 1 Samuel 15:23, the prophet Samuel tells the king that rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. You know, let's let that sink in for a minute. Saul was the king of Israel, and he lost his place as king due to disobedience. Even though at the time he thought he was doing something that was right, he thought he was doing what he was supposed to do. He even argued with the prophet Samuel, saying, I did what the Lord commanded. These that I've brought back will be sacrificed unto the Lord. He really didn't see and understand how it was any different whether he killed them on the battlefield, as the Lord had said, or brought them back and killed them and offered them to the Lord. And I know right now that there are many believers today that are dealing with stubbornness in their life. And one of the areas that I see people being stubborn and rebellious in is in their health. And this was a lesson that I myself have had to learn, and even again just this past year. There was an area of my life that the Lord told me to do something, it was something that was very hard for me to do. I was having to give up something that I enjoyed, something I was good at, something that it took me a long time to learn to do. And this decision was uncomfortable because it was going to have to cause me to walk by faith in an area that really scared me. So, just like King Saul, I proceeded to do some things that were partial obedience, but not fully what I was commanded to do. I made compromises in that area, thinking that I was doing what the Lord had told me to do, all while giving him every excuse as to why I couldn't completely and totally follow his instructions at that time. You know, I gave God a long list. If you do this, then I can be obedient and do what you've told me to do. And I can tell you firsthand that just like Saul, that did not work out very well for me either. In fact, I almost lost the promise of God concerning this calling and dream for my life. And my health was negatively impacted by the stress of the situation. You know, I've spent years trying to make this happen on my own, in my own way. But after finally being obedient and submitting to his will and his way, then everything has completely turned around and changed in my life. I am currently being used in ministry in ways that I would have never dreamed possible. And that issue with my health completely resolved immediately upon my obedience. And I feel the Holy Spirit saying to us that it's not just those big decisions like this in our life that he's concerned about. During that time, the Lord had also been dealing with me about something that seems very simple, you know, just about how much coffee I was drinking. Now, I know that might seem like something trivial. I mean, I was not like I was drinking alcohol. It was just coffee. And it wasn't even expensive coffee. You know, it wasn't that I was going out and spending too much money. It's coffee that I was making at home or at work. But I was drinking coffee half of the day, every day. Probably 1 to 2 pots of coffee every day. At that time, you know, the job that I was working, I had to be at work, you know, sometimes as early as 4 a.m. And I was using coffee to help push me through the day. And he kept telling me to limit it to 1 cup per day, then drink water. But, you know, I was being stubborn and I didn't listen. And eventually I had to give it up completely for a period of several months because the caffeine started to cause me issues with irregular and rapid heart rate, even sending me to the emergency room one Saturday. Now, I know there are many believers out there who think that just because we're born again, that we can then live our lives as we please. You know, as long as we're good people, we don't commit any gross sins, we read our Bibles every day, we go to church, you know, then we're fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. But he wants obedience in every area of our lives, where we work, what we eat, what we drink, who we hang out with, where we go to church, etc. Now, I could go on with this list for hours. And when we learn to be quick with our obedience, then we're going to be much better off in every area of our life. Now, in John 14:5, Jesus said, "If you love me, obey my commandments." So, what are his commandments? We all know the big ones that are written in the Bible. But what are the ones that he is speaking to you personally? I know for some of you right now, it might be to take control of your health. He may be speaking to you to learn to eat healthy, to learn how to properly take care of the body that he has given you. And then there's another question that I get asked quite often. And it's, does God really care about my physical health?
Oh, yeah.
You know, for so long, the body of Christ has focused mostly on spiritual things. And while we know that the spiritual things are the most important, we still can't forget about the physical things. You know, 3 John 1:2 out of the New King James, or out of the King James Version, tells us that, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." And then the New Living Translation states it this way, "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." So this one verse alone tells us that the Lord is concerned with our physical health. And Jesus would have not taken the stripes on his back for our healing if health was not important to him. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:10, gives us a little deeper insight into why the Lord would be concerned with our health and what we put into our bodies. It states, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself." So for the next several minutes, I'm going to share with you some parts of a prophetic message that the Lord gave to me this past December. This was about 30 days after I had made that choice to truly surrender 100% of my life, my time, my gifting and calling to what the Lord had commanded me to do. And this message was entitled, "The Prophet of Health." And in there he stated, "We are going on a health journey together, a health pilgrimage. As a health prophet, there will be things that I am going to speak to you that will not be easy to hear. I am not here to tickle your ears. I am not here to make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. I am here to move you from where you are now into the promised land of health, weight loss, and boundless energy. We are going to need it for the days that are coming ahead. Our bodies need to be strong and healthy to withstand the glory that is getting ready to come. We must be physically able to run the race." So this is not about vanity, and it's not about pride or our appearance. Although the Lord says there's nothing wrong with taking a humble pride in the way that we look, you know, being representatives of him. It is about being ready for the billion soul harvest that is coming. Laborers are needed to go into the harvest field. And not only to make converts, but to make disciples. And it will require not only our time and money on our parts, it will require us to give out of the very essence of life that flows from the Father to us. And I can tell you firsthand that when I was in a state of unhealth, when I had zero energy, my body was inflamed and I was in pain constantly, it pulled my focus and my attention away from the things of the Spirit. It caused me to not pursue him as earnestly and as fervently as I would have liked to. And the Lord Jesus tells us in Mark 14:38 that our spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And today the Lord says, "Come out of her, my people. Come out of the world system of health care. Come out of the world system of fake, genetically modified, chemical-filled foods. These things are not food, but poison. These are not the things that I created for you to eat and to drink. The things that I created are nourishing and healing for your body." The Bible also tells us in Hebrews 12:1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." I believe that this verse can be taken quite literally as well as spiritually. Excess weight and the health issues that come along with it can greatly hinder us from doing the work of God. At my lowest point, when I was over 250 pounds, I couldn't even walk up 4 flights of stairs without having to stop, feeling like my lungs were on fire and like my heart was going to explode inside my chest. That is not the Father's will for us. And in that state, how was I supposed to be able to run the race when I couldn't even walk up a few flights of stairs? I believe that we're coming into a season of chastening and discipline, but not in a negative connotation, but it's rather for our purifying. In Hebrews 12, 5 through 12, it says, "And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He says, 'My children, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child.' As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you, as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and you are not really his children at all. And since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best that they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. You know, it can be painful. But afterwards, there is a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So, you know, take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong." And just as this passage of Scripture talks about no chastening, pruning, or rebuking is fun while it's happening, but that the fruit it will yield in our lives is priceless. You know, it talks about the weak and the lame becoming strong. There will be things, you know, that you're going to have to give up. There will be habits that you will have to stop. And there will be areas where you will need to repent. For the majority of believers, we have gotten into the shape that we're in either one of two ways. Either by making food an idol and running to eat to medicate our feelings and emotions rather than seeking the Lord in times of distress and unease. And for most of it, we don't even realize that we were probably programmed to do this from a very young age. You know, how many of you can remember as a child being given cookies, candy, or ice cream by our parents or grandparents when we were upset? And although those things are well-intended, it trained us to use food to deal with our emotions instead of taking them to the Father God and letting his word and the Holy Spirit soothe and comfort us. And then in doing these things, we just put a Band-Aid on the problem instead of healing the wound. You know, I've worked in healthcare for many years. You know, I've spent probably most of my adult life working in hospitals, nursing homes, home health aide, a dialysis technician. And in that industry, I've seen firsthand what happens when natural wounds are not dealt with properly. They get infected and they fester, and then the infection spreads killing the healthy surrounding tissue. And if it's still left untreated, can quickly lead to the loss of a limb, or it can even cause a bloodstream infection that leads to sepsis and death. So for us, just as these things can happen in the natural, they can happen spiritually as well. You know, when we stuff down our feelings and use the Band-Aid of food, drugs, sex, or even adventure, those emotional and spiritual wounds can fester, infecting other areas of our lives, and even can manifest physically as sickness in our body. And one example of this is Proverbs 14:30. It says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body, but jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Now, the word says that when our heart is at peace, it leads us to a healthy body, but that jealousy left unchecked is like cancer to our bones. Now, let's stop and think about that for a minute. When we allow jealousy and envy to reside in us, it eats away at our very support structure. And angerness and bitterness have long been said to be at the root of rheumatoid arthritis. And then moving on, the second way that a lot of us get into an unhealthy condition is through a spirit of gluttony. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:2, and this one I'm reading out of the Berean Study Bible. It says, to put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. Now, that's some pretty strong language, so I'm going to read that again. It says, put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. And then later in Proverbs 23, it says, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe them in rags. So both of these verses are very strongly worded verses of Scripture regarding gluttony. And there was another message that the Lord had me teach about 6 months ago that was entitled The Real Cost of Healthcare. And it spoke of the devastating effects of disease on people, not just physically, but financially. And this verse of Scripture is that in action. You know, disease and poor health can do a lot more than just make you look and feel bad. It can rob you of any wealth that the Lord has brought to you that he intended for you to use to further the kingdom of God. But instead, those finances will have to be spent on doctors, hospitals, and some very expensive prescription drugs. So, how does gluttony get a hold of us? We can become addicted to not just food, but to the feeling that we get when we eat, especially foods that are high in sugar, high in carbohydrates, high in fat, and the high salt content that can come in fast food and in packaged foods. You know, these so-called foods can cause certain chemicals in the brain called endorphins to be released. And these chemicals cause us to feel a sensation of pleasure. And when this is left unchecked, this can set us up for gluttony. Now, I know that that's a word that's really not popular in our modern society and culture. It's considered even unpolite speech. But let's take a minute to look at the definition of this word. First, it can just mean habitual greed or simply an excess of eating. But if you just take it and break it down even a little more, It just simply means that we have developed a habit of eating more food than we need. And most of the time, the reason that this happens is because we have stopped listening to our body's signals of true hunger and satiety, or that signal to stop eating when we're full. And part of the reason is that we have become addicted to those endorphins that are released and the way that they make us feel and that sensation of pleasure that they give us when we eat those foods. And some of the foods that we eat trigger the exact same endorphins and areas of the brain as when someone consumes alcohol or drugs. In fact, sugar and cocaine, when they do brain scans and give someone sugar and they give them cocaine or even Ritalin, they light up the exact same area of the brain. It's like the brain can't tell the difference between one or the other. So it's going to release that same chemical that gives that sense of pleasure. Then there are also chemicals that are being added to the processed foods to cause them to taste better to us than what the natural foods really do. And this also makes us addicted to the food. A lot of these chemicals are not even allowed to be put into the food in most European countries. They have been outlawed and banned by those countries. And most people from America, if they go to Europe and eat the food, will complain that the food there doesn't taste as good as it does here. And that's not really true, that the food itself doesn't taste as good. The food tastes the same. It's just the chemical that was added to the food here is not in the food there. And what those chemicals do a lot of times is they cause your taste buds to swell so that you just taste more of the food than you normally would. And then the way that reacts to our body is similar to nicotine and cigarettes. It just causes you to become addicted. And there are entire companies of what they call food scientists. And their job is designated purely to the study of making substances to get people hooked on and addicted to foods. And that's another reason that I believe that the Lord is directing us away from all of these fake man-made foods. Now, the Lord says that it's okay to eat things that are pleasurable, but with self-control. And we know in Galatians 5:22 and 23 tells us that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And I hear people say all the time, oh, I have no self-control. Or they might say that they need to get some self-control. But the Bible tells us that if we are born again and that the Holy Spirit lives in us, then one of those fruits is self-control. It's already there. We just need to exercise it, and we need to grow it. And just like anything else, it starts small, and then we grow it and we build it, you know, just like we do any other, you know, muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it will get. And then that's also just like any other spiritual principle that we activate in our life. And then as the Word states in Proverbs 25:16, it says, do you like honey? Don't eat too much or it will make you sick. You know, again, I truly believe that the Lord intended for us to enjoy food. You know, in Ecclesiastes 9:7, it says, go, eat your food with gladness, drink your wine with a joyful heart. And then in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You know, now, of course, I'm not advocating that anybody go drink alcohol, but I just believe that the Word is telling us here that whatever we eat or drink, He's telling us to enjoy it. And then in Isaiah 55:2, you know, verse B, it says, listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. And I believe that this verse was speaking of some really good food. So these verses show us that the Lord intended for food to be enjoyable, and that the food that he provided for us, he wanted us to enjoy it. But we are not to be consumed by food. We are to consume the food, not the food to consume us. And we should not be so infatuated with any food that we are not willing to give it up, or with any way of eating that we are unwilling to change it. Luke 12:23 states, for life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Now, I'm from Kentucky. You know, we're kind of down in the South. And I hear people say all the time that I am a Southerner, and I'm going to eat my fried chicken and my mashed potatoes until the day I die. And for most of them, that ends up being true. It just comes much sooner than they had intended. And there is a spiritual principle at work that many don't realize, and it's found in 1 Corinthians 3:16. And in that verse, it says, do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. You know, again, that's another very powerful scripture. And I believe that it was probably intended for those who commit murder and martyr the believers. But I also believe that it could very well be applied in this situation as well. You know, when we as believers are eating and drinking things that are destroying our body, then this principle could come against us as well. You know, this is one of God's principles and laws that govern this natural realm. Just the same as the law of gravity. When you drop something, it's going to fall. That when you put things into your body that destroys it, then it's going to destroy your body and your life. And when we choose to do things that destroy our body, we can't just turn around and pray a prayer and expect everything to be okay. You know, don't be deceived by those who tell you that what you do to your physical body does not matter, because it's just going to pass away anyway. Our spirit is what lives forever. The Word makes it very clear, and I believe that this text above speaks for itself. And then in 1 Corinthians 10:23, it says, you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. So knowing and understanding this verse, we know that we must be on guard, that we are not enslaved to anything. And again, that's not just alcohol, that's not just drugs, that's not just cigarettes. That can be unhealthy foods as well. That can be sodas that are destroying and ruining your health. And then 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, you say food was made for the stomach, and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. So with these above verses, we know we can eat anything that we want to. We are no longer under the law concerning clean or unclean foods. Those things no longer defile us spiritually. But that still doesn't mean that they're good choices for us. You know, especially all of those man-made fake foods, again, with all of the chemicals and all of the additives and everything that they put in them. And I truly believe that this goes to a much deeper level than just the fact that it's an unwise choice. To me, the Bible makes it very clear that idolatry, gluttony, and anything that destroys our body is sin. Now, I know if you're like me, that statement might make you feel a little uneasy on the inside. It really did me when the Lord first started speaking these things to me. And I can honestly say that these are things that I really never thought I would speak out loud to other people. I had thought these were just principles that the Lord had given me to correct me. And I've been a health coach for years, and I have danced around this issue for years with my coaching clients, especially the Christian ones. You know, trying to be nice about it, not wanting to hurt anyone's feelings, not wanting to offend anyone. But the Spirit of God does not pity-pat around with things, especially those issues of life and death. And these days, the body of Christ is so easily offended, almost as easily as the world is. And I believe the Lord is saying that it's time to grow up in the Spirit and take correction like the mature believers that we need to be and that He intends for us to be, and then move into the fullness that He has in store for us. You know, if we read through the Bible, how many accounts are there in the Bible of prophets being brutally honest with people? You know, we don't have time on this broadcast to recount all of them, but let's just say there was a lot of them. And in fact, the prophets were oftentimes murdered because the words that they gave from the Lord were not popular speech, but they brought rebuke. And then we know that Jesus is to be our example. So if we look at the life of Jesus, how did He talk to people? He too was brutally honest with people. You know, He called some of them a brood of vipers. Others He called whitewashed tombs. Then some of the people, He even told them they were of their father, the devil. And at the time, all of these statements were very insulting to the religious people of that day. But then there were others that He spoke to, like the lady that came to get healing for her daughter. And He told her, He said, "Go away. It's not time for me to deal with you yet. It's time for me to deal with the house of Israel," basically. You know, "and I can't give the children's bread to dogs." You know, how many of us would have been offended at that statement at being called a dog? But because she humbled herself and had faith, she was able to get what she needed from the Lord that day. And then there are even instances of Jesus rebuking His disciples. And most of these are recorded in the book of Luke, and one in particular in Luke 9:41. And kind of the backstory of that was He had sent all the believers out and told them to pray for people, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. And when they were coming back, there was one instance of a father that had a young son who was epileptic. He was having seizures. And the disciples had prayed for the boy, but they couldn't get him healed. So the father brings the boy to Jesus and says, "Lord, if you can, you know, what can you do for him?" And then Jesus says, "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. How long shall I stay with you and put up with you? And in that verse, he was not just speaking to the Father and the people in the crowd, but he was also speaking to his disciples that were unable to cast the demon out of the boy with the seizures. Now, I don't know about any of you, but if I had been one of the disciples standing there, those words would have really stung if they had been said to me. And at that point, you know, he was pretty frustrated with them at that point in time. But what that tells us is that sometimes it takes something said in brutal honesty under the direction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to wake us up out of our slumber and see that we have been put into bondage by the enemy with something as simple and basic as food. And with these things being said, we know that everything Jesus ever said or did was coming from love. And I also say these things from the Lord from a spirit of love and compassion. Because as I mentioned a little bit at the beginning, I too have been where you are. These are truths that I've had to realize in my own life. So none of these things that I say are said out of a spirit of judgment, but to set the captives free. And I know that there are a lot of you who don't know me personally and don't know my entire story. So if it's okay, I would like to share my story and my journey with you. You know, just a few years ago in June of 2016, I personally weighed more than 250 pounds. And I'm pretty small. I'm only about 5'3" tall. And I really don't know the exact number of how much I weighed, because once I hit 250, I refused to get on the scale anymore. I just wouldn't let them weigh me anymore. I just know that I continued to get bigger and bigger in size. But, you know, I haven't always been heavy or wasn't always heavy. As a child and teenager, I was normal size, and even into my early adult life. But I can't really say that I was healthy, because I ate the typical junk food and fast food, you know, that young people like to eat. Then at the age of 15, I also started smoking and smoked for about 10 years. You know, I wasn't raised in church, and I wasn't saved until about the age of 23. And then, you know, I got married and wanted to start a family. And when I became pregnant with my oldest son at the age of 25, I had already suffered, you know, several years of fertility challenges. For like the first 3 years, I couldn't even become pregnant. And then once we did finally become pregnant, I suffered several miscarriages. So with this going on, when I did finally have a successful pregnancy that didn't miscarry, was what, you know, told me to stop smoking. And I did finally give that up. But one thing that I've realized was I didn't overcome that addiction. I just replaced that addiction to cigarettes with an addiction to food. So, again, I want you all to realize that when I talk about these things, know that I have been there myself. You know, these are things and areas that I have had to cry out to the Lord to get answers for in my life. You know, and those answers weren't always, they haven't always been things that I wanted to hear, but they were the things that I needed to hear. And I wish that I could say that I was all super spiritual and that I accepted these things the first time that the Lord spoke them to me. But the fact is that I really wasn't at first. I was offended. And that spirit of offense kept me living in bondage until I had finally had enough and was ready to admit to it and then repent of it. And this particular verse of Scripture was one that really stood out to me at that time. Proverbs 4:20 through 22 says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body." So what is it that brings life? And what is it that brings healing to their whole body? It's the words that the Lord speaks to you. And sometimes those are the words that bring correction. Sometimes those are the words that bring rebuke. But those words that bring chastening, that bring discipline, that bring rebuke, sometimes are the very words that bring you life and that bring the healing to your whole body. And then once I was willing to accept the truth and repent, then I asked the Holy Spirit to show me how to fix it, to give me wisdom. And in James 1:5, the Bible tells us that if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. And that, my friends, is the journey that I have been sharing with the body of Christ. You know, there is hope. There is healing. Jesus wants to lead us out of the captivity and the bondage of being overweight and sick. You know, he tells us, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. This will bring healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. And this is the calling that the Lord has placed on my life, is to do just that, to take people by the hand and show them the way out of that captivity. And right now I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Father God, show me anything in my life that might be hindering me. Show me any areas of disobedience where I need to repent. Lord, show me how I can be obedient in areas where it may seem impossible for me to do what you've asked me to do. Help me, Father God, to exercise self-control in what I eat and what I drink. Give me wisdom. Help me to make wise choices. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Christie, it's been a blessing and a pleasure to have you this evening on the United Fellowship Broadcast Center conference line. We're glad to have you here tonight. We'll be having her again next week, Tuesday. Next week, Tuesday, we'll be having her again for a further study, and as the Lord leads her, that Tuesday, hallelujah, and we're going to continue to go forth on health for the next weeks coming because it's important that your spiritual health and your natural health align with each other. The spiritual and natural walk alongside of one another. And if one or the other's out of whack, they're both going to be out of whack. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, you know, what she said tonight was a straight-out truth. You know, and my wife already likes you, Christy. So if my wife likes you, you know, and respects you, she doesn't always like every person I've been in ministry with. And so that says a lot right there, and she's just starting to get to know you. What we do know about you is we know that you're someone that walks according to the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, and the Holy Spirit itself, you know, and stand upon the truth, and you're not going to pussyfoot around. You're going to tell us to bluntly, exactly out of love,
what needs to change in order to change. Amen. And help us dissect the things that need to change. You guys know that those that are on the line tonight, you know that this is what we preached about in the past. I know firsthand, Pastor Christie, you know what you're sharing tonight, because I'm not a very popular preacher. We've lost people. We've gone from 15, 20 people on the conference line down to 5 or 6 at times. But, you know, something I've learned from a pastor I grew up under, well, he said this, it's not about the amount of people. He says if you reach even one person, that one life could then reach another. It's like a trickle effect. And so, you know, what you said tonight was a straight out truth. We're not, you and I are not popular preachers because we say it like it is.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, like I was saying in the Cousin Subs tonight, I said, you know, if you don't like it, just go down to the next church that's going to get you here. You know, because point blank, I hope you don't go down to the next church that's itching your ear. But at the same time, don't waste ours or waste God's time. Because there's a lot of time wasters in the kingdom of God, so-called kingdom of God, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And God don't want us to waste his time. That's why when Lot came back, what did he say? Even if there even be 10, I will spare. So we are in the time of Noah once again, a sort of Noah time, where it's either you get it right or get left.
Yeah.
It's that simple. You know, and with that being said, it has been a pleasure again having you here tonight. Apostle Kim or Leslie or Minister Aaron, the three of y'all got one of any of y'all three got something to say?
Yeah, I don't want to write a book right now.
Well, do you want to at least say hello to her and anything else you might want to say? I know she said she doesn't want to write a book right now, Christy. Maybe God's trying to tell you to get ready to write a book.
No,
hallelujah.
What she said is really straight out.
I can't hear you.
What you had said is really straightforward, and just you know, definitely deeper than a puddle, and you know it's really, you know, something that I am diligently trying to figure out how I'm going to do this with so much pressure on my you know. The way I'm used to being living. And I know I've done it before and I can do it again. And this is, you know, my life. Like you said, you know, this isn't you just telling us what we should know. It's stuff that you've been through yourself. So, you know, that always makes it a lot easier when there isn't someone just telling you, well, give me this money because then I'll help you. You know, I ran into so many health fitness people like that. And it just makes me want to throw up, you know. So when I was listening and, looked at your Facebook and all that, I was like, yeah, she's definitely who she said she is you know, you just want to help people and help them, like you said, walk alongside and hold someone's hand and just be the support and not pussyfoot around, you know, and tell somebody what they want to hear, because that's one thing we don't want to hear is, you know, oh, you'll be okay, you know, when really you're not, you know, and the truth hurts. So, you know, with that being said, it was really, really profound and just making me realize I'm not getting any younger. And, you know, there's no excuse. You know, the excuse is only good for the one giving it. And so we all have things that we, you know, need to work on. And you know, I never thought about what you said, but that is true. I mean, people do go to food for comfort. I never thought of myself doing that, but I guess I have done that with certain things I'm not going to get into. But, you know, there's so many, you got to get to the root cause of it. And it's not just, oh, I'm eating because I'm hungry, you know. If something is upsetting you or something is upsetting somebody else or you're depressed or lonely, you know, it's not always because you're hungry. So that was really, really, really profound, and I look forward to moving forward. Yeah, that's an oxymoron, but I look forward to moving on and trying to get this set up for all of whoever is willing to listen. And, you know, the thing is we have to be teachable. That's one thing we have to, you know, we can't look at you and judge, like, who do you think you are type of thing, because people do that. I've done it. I'm not going to lie, you know, but it just seems real with you, and it doesn't seem like you were trying to, let's just get this started and give me the money, you know.
She wanted to pray about it.
And, you know, you said certain things to me that I still don't remember or forgot. I still remember what you said. And so that really made me think when I got off the phone with you that one night. And I mean, it's just something I want to do for my health, for my just, not like you said, it's not for a fashion statement. It's not to look good. It's not to be, oh, the prettiest person on the broadcast. No, it's for my health and my just what God has called us to do. Because we definitely can't move around if you got all excess weight. No. Fortunately, I'm more height than you, but, you know, that still doesn't mean anything. You know, you can be skinny or fat or thin or slim. I mean, it doesn't matter how skinny someone is. It depends on how their body is dealing with it. And one thing I want to say is my sister-in-law, who was only 39 years old, was way, 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 way big, way big. And, you know, the doctors had told her if she would lose weight, she would die. So, you know, the healthcare system is telling us that we should stay big and unhealthy, because guess what? That's when they get their money. So, you know, she was 39 and died. Same age as me. And she was married to my mother's husband's son. So she was my sister. And me and her were the same age.
Sister Simple.
And I looked at myself, and I'm nowhere near as big as she was. But see, it's not about how big someone is. Because I actually weighed more than her, believe it or not. And she was just, I felt so bad for her. I mean, and I said, you know, I'm in no better shape. I'm just got like 6 inches on her. That was the only reason why it didn't look as bad on me. But, you know, so it doesn't matter about looks. It doesn't matter about, you know, it's about your body and what is supposed to be adjusted for. Well, you know, it's spiritual. It has to do with spiritual thing too. You know, you can be 200 pounds and be happy. You can be, now I'm 6'3". I'm supposed to be only 230 pounds. That's like the max I'm supposed to be for my height. And I'm way over that. So, you know, it's really hurting my heart, you know, to even say that, because it's embarrassing. But, you know, I'm not embarrassed, because we all need to look at ourselves and, you know, and realize that, you know, what you said was just the darn outright truth. And it really made me think, like, wow, you know, basically everything you said was just, like, right in my head, you know, like things I thought. So it was very good. Thank you very much. And I hope everyone heeds the warning. I hope everyone listens to the direction and the, you know, the Holy Spirit.
She's going
to
break the chair.
You know, because she's putting herself out here to help us all. And if we, you know, want to change and be happier people not just because of looking good, but just being happier, healthier. You know, you'll feel better about yourself. You'll smile more, and you know. And I think it's going to be a really good. It was a really good connection, divine appointment. I believe because I've had, like I said, so many health coaches, so many people that I've tried to trust, and they just totally let me down. Now, not even weeks, but within days of meeting them.
Oh, no.
As soon as they get the money, as soon as, you know, it's just sad. And so, like Nick said, for me to like you, I'm not being, like, you know, facetious or anything, but I'm saying for me to like you right away, that's a damn, that's a hard, oh! Okay. So, sorry. Just had a little heart attack here. Okay. Thank you very much, Christy. I look forward to working with you, and whatever you have, whatever the Holy Spirit gives you to help us and help me, I'm not talking about anyone else but me, that is, we all going to do my best. Even if I don't understand, I'm still going to, you know, do the best to ask you questions and, you know, make sure I understand. You know, it may sound easy, but sometimes it isn't. Believe me, I've been there, done that with so many people. And, you know, so you're the only one I seem to be, you know, okay with. And that's sad, but, no, actually that isn't sad. But it's sad I had to say that about all those other health people. But it is the truth. Nick doesn't even know half the people I've talked to throughout my life as far as my health, because I've always had issues with being bigger and fatter. And, you know, I was the smallest baby in my family. Now I'm the biggest. I was in an incubator and almost died, but now I'm the biggest out of all my siblings. So, it's time. You know, time right now is perfect here for all of us to do better. So that's all I'm going to say. Yeah. Thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you are welcome. It has been an honor talking to all of you. I do believe this has been a divine connection and that the Lord is going to do great things.
Amen. We got Apostle Kim on here as well.
Well, I'd just like to say blessings, awesome word, and yes, we do need the information, and yes, we need to take heed. Amen.
Amen. We got Minister Chastity in training, Minister in training Chastity here. I hope that you got a chance to hear a bit of it, Minister Chastity. She's talking about tonight on the things that we eat and we put into our bodies. That God, you know, He's going to hold us accountable for that, and not just accountable in a sense in the eternity, but He's going to hold us accountable right here on earth by consequences of those actions. You know, a lot of times people, they turn, just to give you a synopsis, a lot of people, they turn to food before they turn to God, and they turn to it to deal with depression, stress, worry. I mean, this goes so deep in so many different facets that I'll be taking it even a step further this weekend, talking about how we turn to other unhealthy decisions in life that are beyond just food, that can destroy our very spiritual walk as well as our natural life of natural repercussions that come from those bad spiritual decisions. I mean, what she said tonight, I mean, it was really honestly good. Things that we've been preaching over the last some odd months, I know Kim remembers this. We've talked about the things that we do can cause disease and sickness in our bodies. You know, I don't go to the, I haven't been to a regular doctor in a year and a half. In a year and a half, I felt better health-wise than when I used to go to the doctor. I used to be in and out of the emergency room whenever there was a chest pain or whenever there was a breathing issue. Now, over the last year and a half, close to 2 years, I call on Jesus.
That's my doctor.
Yes.
And then my pharmacy is the Bible.
Yes.
Hold on. But it, exactly. And then my pharmacy is God's word.
Yes.
You know, different balance.
There's so many things in the scripture that will give you the medicine that you need to overcome the different areas of your life. And if you start to really take and attack anger with scriptures on anger, unforgiveness with scriptures on unforgiveness, sexual immorality. I mean, she went so deep tonight. If you attack those things with scripture and have a good spiritual coach alongside of you to help you that is led by the Holy Spirit and by God. I mean, y'all know me. These days I'm very particular on who we go into ministry with or who we walk alongside of in ministry. Amen. She's not just going to be here as a health coach, sisters and brothers. She is also now a sister, hallelujah, sister minister of this ministry. And I mean, a wonderful woman of God who I know I could bounce things off of. Her and I were was talking about the vision of the ministry that God's given me and how what God showed her, how it all just lined up together. Amen.
Amen.
That's what divine appointment does. You know, God don't do nothing by coincidence. You know, I look at the last of my months, how the devil been trying to attack me, Pastor Christie, been trying to stop me from being able to bring forth the United Remnant Conference, trying to attack the technology side of things and trying to attack my breathing. And you know, y'all wouldn't even know tonight. You wouldn't even know when I was singing. You wouldn't even know that I was having breathing difficulty in the middle of singing. Why? Because I don't let what's going on in my own health stop me from being able to praise my Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes we got to push through the pain.
Amen.
You got to push through the pain. Because even in this process that she's talking about, it's going to be pain, y'all. But the end result is going to be better than when you started.
Yes.
And so, under this health journey, I render myself under someone that knows more about the health industry than I do. My wife and I have started in it. We've lost some weight, but it just wasn't being lost at the rate that we'd like. And it also wasn't being done the healthy way. Amen?
No.
Amen.
What she's talking about is another
place. I mean, this is just what she's talking about tonight, man, y'all. She's gonna help you from a natural and a spiritual standpoint. And we've been talking about this for months, about this coming, amen?
Because I believe what the Lord has shown me is how to marry the natural with the supernatural to walk in divine health.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. That is straight out the truth because, you know, sisters and brothers, that I ain't nothing else I can say on top of that one.
Nope.
I mean, what she said right there just tied it all up. Minister Chastity, we pray for you right now in the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. You're praying for healing from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. I know you were battling being able to get on here tonight. The enemy was trying to attack your health. But tonight, my sister, this is exactly what the message was about tonight. It's about pressing forward for the high mark and the high calling of Jesus. And that you tonight, you could have missed your blessing, but you're not missing it because you're here. Amen?
Amen.
And I hope you spread it on to Cedric, I mean to Kendrick and all those that are in the call line. Hallelujah. Minister, Pastor Christy Crenshaw will be in our groups as well. I'll be adding her to our groups with her permission so that she can be able to just put out some whatever the Lord leads her in when it comes to the healthy side of things or whatever else God leads, because I know this woman is filled with the Holy Spirit and she don't play games just like me. And so we're two peas in a pod, put it that way. Amen.
Amen.
And so continue to just encourage my sister, Minister Chastity, and healing upon your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And just believe it is all done by the riches and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Minister Chastity.
Yeah.
Amen. You just keep your head held high. You need to look up Christy Crenshaw on Facebook. Definitely a wonderful woman of God that really stands for the truth. And Minister Aaron, is there anything you'd like to say? All right. Apostle Kim, if you will close us in a word of prayer.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that was said and done, oh God. Father, help us to take heed to what we have heard and apply it to our lives, oh God. And let it be then fell on good ground, that it take root and bear fruit, Father. Father, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm glad that you all were able to be here tonight. Thank you for all those that may be listening to this audio recording on Podbeam. I will be starting to transfer all of our recordings that have been done in freeconferencecall.com, as well as other places that we have our recordings. We will be posting those in our Podbeam that we just started. And as the Lord is moving things forward, blessings to all of you that are listening to us in the United Fellowship Network of Jesus. We bless you all tonight. We welcome Kingdom Health Builders as a sister ministry of ours and a friend as well. God bless you all. Have a good night. See you again Saturday morning, 10 a.m.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.